This is AJ and Dusty.
All right, listen up. I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
With AJ McCord.
That beer's getting better, I admit that. But you're still weak on the left side.
And Dusty Hera.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard spotted underwear, bikini style, sir.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
What kind of power?
Good afternoon, happy Monday to you, the 17th of May, 2021. Dusty Hera, AJ McCord. How are you, AJ?
Good, good. Welcome back to both of you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Missed you.
Will Darkins got the COVID vaccine, number two. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
And that put you on your butt.
Yeah.
Your bottom.
I feel kind of bad.
All right.
Because this same thing happened to Mike, and I pretty much just told Mike, like, dude, you're a wuss.
Suck it up, buttercup.
Because I had to pull a double when Mike got it, and I was like, dude, get in here right now. You're not actually sick. It's just a side effect. Get in here. Yep. Power through it.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to do that Thursday morning. I came into work. Dude, I got in, spent like 5 minutes looking at my computer screen, and it hurt my eyes. I took a nap for an hour and then just went home.
Yeah. I saw engineer Joey and he goes, yeah, your producer's gone. And I said, oh, did he look like S? And he goes, oh yeah, he looked like S.
Yeah.
So, I had to get the clarification that you did in fact look like as bad as you felt. And you did.
Yeah.
You looked just as bad as you felt.
And I was wearing my dark lenses too.
Ooh.
Oh.
Because the light was very sensitive, so I had to wear my transition lenses inside, which made it all look the worst.
But it was 24 hours, and now you're fine.
Yeah, feel good.
There you go.
There you have it.
Feeling great now. Feeling great. And now you're a superhero. Congrats.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Well, I think you need like a week and a half, then you're officially a superhero.
Oh, yeah, he's got two, he's got to wait your two-week window, then you're fully vaccinated.
Now, if I got it really bad, these symptoms and everything, doesn't that mean that my immune system is just champ number one all-American? Like, I have
I've heard.
An incredible immune system that will beat the crap out of anything now.
Yeah, but what does it mean that I didn't?
Yeah,
like, I didn't. I didn't have those reactions. Like,
I don't know what it means.
I think
for
you know.
What?
I think you know.
I have no idea what you mean right now, Will.
It's not good.
Oh.
It's not good.
Well, what isn't good? My immune system?
Apparently.
I already knew that.
So then?
I mean, I don't know.
Now you know what you know.
My immune system works just fine. I get little snotty little kids running around the house. They're always sick.
Yeah.
My wife is a teacher, so she's always bringing home stuff. Golly. It's the worst.
That sounds awful.
You guys should have kids. It's great. Anyways, we're all back together again. I went golfing this past weekend.
How was it?
It was awesome. We had a great time.
It looked like a beautiful weekend
for golf. Awesome. It was sunny, 80. In Central Oregon, you can get snow or you can get, beautiful, absolutely beautiful weather. And we got absolutely beautiful weather, so I'm thrilled about that. I did something which it may be the biggest golf it may be one of the bigger sports accomplishments I've ever had.
Whoa. And did you get a hole in one?
No. Oh. Did not do that. 72 holes of golf.
Wow.
I lost one ball.
Wow.
I played with two golf balls over 72 holes of golf.
It's impressive.
It may be my greatest athletic accomplishment because I was sitting there. I was like, that should tell you a lot. I was sitting there going, I didn't know how great it was. And then I was going, wait a minute. Like, we started playing games in our afternoon round. It was like, you're playing a game where if you have one safe in the fairway, you just let it rip. I only lost one ball the whole weekend. And the one ball that I lost, though, I lost just as many balls as clubs.
Oh.
Yep. I had an errant tee shot, and I was kind of behind, like, a branch was sticking down. And it was a pretty thin branch.
Uh-huh.
And on my follow-through, it went and it barely nicked this branch, and just the end of my club just went boop and fell right off. It was just like the right, I don't know. I did not hit the tree branch hard, but the end of the club just went boop. It was just its time. It was my 7-iron, and that was the only ball I lost. Was I hit right when my club head hit that stick, the ball just went boop and dunked right in the water.
Huh.
So I lost one ball and one club.
Okay.
But I think the great accomplishment is only losing one ball in 72 holes of golf. Neither of you guys are golfers, so.
Well, I am not enough of a golfer to know that that's really impressive.
And I'm not good enough of a golfer to be somebody that plays with one ball for 41 holes and then another ball the rest of the round. It was an incredible feat. I think it was probably my finest accomplishment I've had.
That's awesome. I'm happy for you.
Have you ever destroyed a club in a fit of rage?
Never.
Never?
I mean, I would hope not. He's like a recreational golfer.
Yeah, you can still get pretty pissed. Well, I've seen people destroy clubs.
Oh, believe me, I got pissed, but no, I understand I'm not good enough. Yeah, I'm not good enough at golf to get upset like that. Why do you destroy clubs?
No, I destroyed a tennis racket once, but I was going to get a new one like a week later. And I was in a doubles match with some people, and I kept messing up because the racket sucked. So then at the end of it, I just hit it on the ground really hard.
I feel like a tennis racket would be more satisfying to break, actually.
Boy, that would be a great feeling, though.
The sound it makes when it hits court is like a boom.
Oh, yeah. My sister played collegiate tennis. I've seen a few rackets break. Yeah.
Where'd she play?
She played at Texas A&M and St. Mary's.
Damn.
She's good.
A&M, College Station.
Yeah, no big deal.
Did she like living there?
No.
Okay. No. I get that from a lot of people because I've met people that went to Texas A&M, and it's always like, it was fine.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what do you mean it was fine? It's like, yeah, you lived there, and that sucked.
No, the people in Texas are very proud of Texas A&M. You know, the Aggies wear their rings everywhere, and if you'd walk into a job interview with one of those on,
Gig 'em everywhere.
Like, it's a cult. I had no idea about the Aggie ring, but do you have like a whole ceremony for your Aggie ring?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I went in college, I went on a ski trip.
Will, you're about to learn.
This is crazy. Okay. And I covered Arkansas. So keep in mind, like, I know dedication to college sports programs.
Let's go Piggies.
Including Arkansas. But this is why in the SEC, when they say it just means more, this is what they're talking about. Okay. So I'm on a spring break trip, snowboarding trip in college. And it must have been during March Madness. It's the only thing I can remember. Or that's the only thing I can figure.
She partied.
Because it was March. And so we're staying at this hotel, and it was one of those deals that, you know, they put on for college students where it's like, oh, stay 5 nights, ski for 6, whatever. So everyone is
not familiar with this.
Really?
No.
Oh, well, they did it in Colorado all the time. It was like a spring break, like,
that sounds awesome.
Package that the hotels and the mountains would put together. It was a ton of fun.
That's tight.
So I went with a bunch of friends, and one night at midnight in Colorado, a small mountain town in Colorado, in this hotel, like on the fourth floor or something, a whole bunch of Aggies had gotten together because it was also Texas spring break. So they had found each other. Mm-hmm. All these people from Texas A&M had found each other and started doing the Aggie yell.
Weird.
On the fourth floor in Colorado on spring break. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not something to mess with.
Right there is the type of like pride, like really just toxic pride, I want to almost call it, in your college, where it's like, look, it's cool if you're an alumni and you're proud of it and everything, but I don't need you to be yelling at 10 o'clock at night while I'm trying to sleep down here.
And this is where it is like the A&M folks are over the edge because they kind of have like this little brother syndrome of Texas. We went to in Houston, my wife and I went to a piano bar. They had the dueling pianos. And in the center of the two pianos, they had like this little table, and it had each one of the logos on it. It had the Texas, A&M, Texas Tech, TCU, SMU, Houston, and they were all beer pitchers, right? And the more you tipped, the more your fight song got to be played, right?
Oh.
And so it started to become like
annoying.
A measuring competition where one piano would be playing like the Texas, you know, fight song. And then you just see like people walking up pissed off, throwing money in. And by the end of it, and so when Texas A&M got more money in it than Texas did, all of a sudden the other piano started playing the Texas A&M fight song, and then TCU, and then Houston. And it was an awesome thing. I had no idea what song was being played, except for I could see what pitcher was more full of cash, and it was Texas A&M, and it wasn't even close.
Yep.
A&M, Houston, was, because we were in Houston, it got a lot of money, but they had like a little bit of little brother syndrome there.
The with Aggies University stick together. Texas.
Yeah, so you say they get these rings?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're like, God, that must be pretty old, right? Like a national title ring? Because the last one they won was like 1939, what? Right?
No, these are just rings.
Graduation
for student
rings.
Bodies.
Oh, yeah, graduation
you mean they go
rings.
Around with student rings and show people that they went to Texas A&M as if that was an accomplishment? That's what you're trying to say, right?
Wear them everywhere.
Just
yes.
Wear them everywhere to job
wear
interviews?
Them
especially to job interviews.
Especially because if you sit down and somebody has an Aggie ring on,
you're
you
in.
Get a job.
I don't know if you think we're kidding or not. It's not.
I don't think you're kidding. I'm just telling you right now, if I was hiring people and like somebody walked in with like an Oregon State ring and like was flashing it at me and we're like, yeah, let's go beef. I'd be like, dude, I really hope you don't think that's how you're going to get hired. I really, because I'm looking at this resume and the 3 years you went, let's see here, quote unquote, Kerouac on everyone's ass doesn't really help for this job.
See, this is where you're saying that it's like that toxic, you know, it becomes toxic to a point where you are such a fan of your school. That is where they go, no, this is just part of being, you're part of the school. This is what you do.
This is what we do over here.
This is what we do. We take care of our own.
We don't win national titles.
Hey,
getting to the SEC.
Guess what?
Got better facilities than everybody, but we get out recruited.
Well, I mean, they did finish in the top 10 this year.
Yeah. Wow. Where did they finish the SEC?
I think third.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad.
I don't know what you're sitting there and poo-pooing, Will.
You got the
best greatest
facilities.
Accomplishment at Oregon State is winning a Fiesta Bowl.
Oh,
that was
geez.
A big deal.
It is a little too early on a
huge
Monday
deal.
To be attacking each other like this.
I'm not. I just am saying, like, we probably shouldn't be coming at Texas A&M when they're kind of in a pretty good place right now.
Hey, look. It's
they're in a pretty good place.
Look, when your crowning achievement is Johnny Manziel, I'm just saying that says something.
He won a Heisman Trophy.
And
for partying
and for football.
Yeah, he was
pretty good.
So anyway,
pretty good.
All that to say, I think I've seen a few tennis rackets break in my life, and that's
when
pretty sad.
All right, that's it. Yeah.
Crowning achievements, Johnny Manziel.
Oh, geez.
Oh, man. All right. Well, there's a lot of basketball we need to talk about today.
But,
you know,
here
the playoffs are. We got playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs.
Playoffs.
Talking about them.
Yeah. The Portland Trail Blazers are in. They are sixth. They're getting set for a meeting with the Denver Nuggets. We'll talk with Mike Singer. He covers the Nuggets for the Denver Post. He's going to join us at 12:30. But coming up next, Blazers got both things they wanted heading into the weekend. Now, the matchup is set. 503-250-1080. Blazers, Nuggets, first round action. We'll talk about it next on The Fan. All right, Portland Trail Blazers got what they wanted. They are the sixth seed, avoiding the play-in round.
Woot woot.
Hey, it doesn't have to be pretty. You just got to get there, and that's exactly what the Blazers season was.
Yep.
You think about it. The Blazers finishing this regular season with a 132-116 win over the Denver Nuggets, who they will play in the 3-6 matchup. But 42-30... on a regular season with 72 games, that is the equivalent of a 47-win season, which, I mean, put that into perspective. Like, the Lakers are the seventh seed. If it was an 82-game schedule, what they put together was a 47-win season, but they're the seven seed. Mm-hmm. We talk about the depth of the Western Conference. It is deeper than, I mean, think of that when the seven seed would have had 47 wins in a regular season. That's incredible to think about. That is what a 583 win percentage is, and the Blazers are sixth.
Yeah, they looked good last night. I mean, obviously Denver did not play their starters the entire second half, but the energy that Portland came out with was what impressed you the most, because it's what you want to see. They played like a team that had it all on the line, and that's exactly what they were at that point, because it turns out I was not the only one checking that Clippers score in Moda. Obviously, a bunch of the fans were, but I asked Terry Stotts afterwards if any of the players or the assistants were watching it, and he said, yeah, we were watching it down the stretch, because that one was crazy. But the Blazers, 10 of their last 12, playing their best basketball. And a few things that stood out to me last night was the chemistry, not just between Dame and Nurk, but Dame and his canter.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that really develop in this last stretch in particular on the pick and roll. I mean, everybody is stepping up and playing their role to the best of their ability. And that's why they're coming into this postseason as hot as they are.
And I'm so interested in this matchup with the Nuggets, because look, this is far and away a better matchup for Portland than the Clippers are.
Absolutely.
Just guy for guy, dude for dude, up and down the line, it is a better matchup for Portland. I find it, and we'll talk about this later, that the Clippers tanking their final two games so the Blazers get this matchup, that's a whole different story. But Portland should be happy that they do have this. There's familiarity there. There's going to be in that back of their mind the Western Conference semifinals and a rematch of that from just a couple of years ago with Denver. And this is a wounded animal. I mean, look, no Jamal Murray for Denver. They have been playing exceptionally well without him.
Yep.
But they don't have Will Barton, which is a role player. I mean, we can call Will what he is, but he's been out with a hamstring injury since, you know, late April, and they're hoping they can get him back for the playoffs. This matchup is the best case scenario for Portland if you want to get out of the first round, which this is where I still think with this Portland Trailblazers team, getting out of the first round, it was always the expectation.
Mm.
Like, even when they were going through their swoon, and this is like where we've been consistent, like, it hasn't changed who this team is. Like, they are playing a lot better.
Yep.
But that is what this team is that the expectation should be that the Blazers win the first round. That's why, you know, we still see all this heat, even though they're still playing really well. You know, Terry Stotts on the hot seat, a lot of questions about what this roster is going to be like moving forward when they're playing their best ball of the years, because like, yeah, this is what we thought they would be. Mm-hmm. And they're living up to it, which is fun to see, because there's a lot of teams that never reached that potential and reached that capability. But, you know, you're talking about Dame and Nurk, Dame and Cantor, like, that's what we were hoping we would see at the beginning of the year. Unfortunately, injuries derailed it with him and Nurk and that chemistry. And then you kind of have to add the new pieces, Robert Covington, Derek Jones Jr., then Norman Powell. There's been a lot of, you know, ingredients going into this pot. They finally have a recipe that's for success, though.
And as brutal as the injuries have been for Portland, there's no doubt that the Blazers would have rather had their season play out the way it has, where they're in the sixth spot, they don't have home court advantage, but they have everybody healthy. Yeah. That is something you look up and down the Western Conference in particular. LeBron James re-injured his ankle last night, was out for the last 5 minutes. Who knows what that's going to look like on Wednesday? You mentioned the Nuggets, what they've been going through. The Clippers, a whole nother story. But the Jazz, right? Donovan Mitchell, Conley. All these guys who are getting if at best, they're going to have to get chemistry back. At worst, they're not playing healthy in the playoffs. The Blazers are coming into this not only very healthy, but having had the time to click, to find that chemistry. And yes, of course, there was a really bad stretch there, that 0-5 stretch where it looked like the sky was falling.
Was it 9 of 11, too? It was 0-5 and they lost 9 of 11.
Yeah. But you have them had gone through that. And that's why Damian Lillard last night was like, this is why we believe. This is why we believe that we can do this. This is why we believe we can not only win the first round, but every time I get here, I believe we can go all the way. Is because with this team in particular, he said that he feels like this team has gone through more than any of the past seven, yeah, playoff teams that he's been on in Portland.
And this is the thing. I said that last week, you know, like there's something to be said about this team being healthy when nobody else is.
Yep.
And that is important. That's why Thursday night was kind of a gut punch, is because, again, you had a team that really wasn't even fully healthy either without DeAndre Ayton, and the Phoenix Suns found a way. And it's kind of been that close call, right? Close, not able to get over that hump against one of those elite teams. That's why I'm so interested that what you were talking about with the belief angle from Damian Lillard and then the fact that they're finally healthy and playing together, it's going to be a fun playoff matchup. Where this thing goes, I mean, it's going to be a crapshoot because of health. Because if all things are equal, the playing field is level, you know, LeBron is healthy, Conley and Mitchell are back, the Blazers aren't one of the best two teams in the West. Mm. That's a fair thing to say because of what we've seen with our eyes in front of us. But we've seen it before in the playoffs.
You see it every year in the playoffs. Yeah. Someone who has more talent has their season get cut short because of circumstances outside of their control.
Yeah.
You see it every single year. And the other thing that I'm so excited, I know we talk about him and just the fans coming back and how much it means to him. Yusuf Nurkic has not played a playoff game in Moda since 2018. He is.
Wow.
Yeah. Because he got hurt the 2019 year. Mm-hmm. They were in the bubble last year.
Yep.
And now next week he is set to play his first playoff game in Moda in front of fans in 3 years against the team that dealt him.
Fascinating.
That's going to be really fun to watch him. And last night I was watching him guard Jokic and Nurk going at each other. That is going to be a really, really fun matchup and a chance for Nurk to take his game to the level that he believes he can.
Was 2018 his first year?
I don't think it was his first year, but that was the last time he played in the playoffs.
Yeah. I was trying to figure that out. I was like, wow, that was a long time ago.
That was just the last time he played in the playoffs.
All right, Blazers wanted the Denver Nuggets. Does Denver Post writer covers the Denver Nuggets. Mike Singer joins us after Will with SportsCenter. All right, the matchup is set. Blazer fans, it's kind of the one that Rip City wanted. They get the Denver Nuggets in the first round of the NBA playoffs, and it's not like you have any great options ahead of you in the Western Conference, but just the matchups alone, Denver was the one that Blazer fans were eyeing, and well, you get it, along with potential MVP Nikola Jokic. And to preview the series, Mike Singer covers the Nuggets for the Denver Post. Thanks for taking a few minutes for us. How do the Nuggets feel about this first round matchup with the Portland Trailblazers, a rematch of that 2019 epic series?
Well, I think going into last night, given the circumstances, if the Nuggets were to win, they were going to face the Los Angeles Lakers. I think they'll take their chances with the Blazers. If you were to give the Nuggets some truth serum, I think that they probably would have preferred the Dallas Mavericks, but that was such an insane final regular season day that, you know, with the Nuggets playing the team that they're ultimately going to face in the first round, that I think that they are, you know, totally content with how it played out. And frankly, I think that there's a bit of the Nuggets contingent that want some revenge for what happened 2 years ago. And as you guys well know, these are not the same two teams that went toe-to-toe seven games in the conference semifinals 2019.
They certainly are not. And this Nuggets team that the Blazers are going to be facing is not the same one that has been a huge part of why they ended up in the three seed in the West. No Jamal Murray. Can you give us an update on Will Barton, PJ Dozier? I mean, tell us sort of the health of this Denver Nuggets team, because I know Jokic has had to carry a lot more of the weight in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, most of the backcourt that the Nuggets are employing right now was not on the team midway through this season, to give you a sense. Jamal Murray, torn ACL, out for the year. Will Barton's missed the last 2 weeks with a hamstring strain. He is hopeful to come back. I think he's confident that he'll be back in the playoffs. PJ Dozier, there is still no time frame from him. He played an integral part in the Nuggets' run to the Western Conference Finals last year, so that's a significant blow. They are relying on free agent Austin Rivers, who they signed to a 10-day contract and extended him. They are relying on Shaq Harrison, a two-way guy who they signed with about a month left in the season, and they are relying on rookie Facu Campazzo, who has played an outsized role, probably a bigger role than anybody ever wanted him to. And yet he's handled it really well. The Nuggets go 13-5 since Jamal Murray has gone down. So they are depleted, but, you know, the guy we haven't mentioned is Michael Porter Jr., who was not there in 2019, rehabbing his back surgery. And now he's back, turned into a budding star for the Nuggets. And you pair him alongside Nikola Jokic, that's a scary tandem that frankly just wasn't there 2 years ago.
So you mentioned Campazzo, who I still can't say his first name because I feel like it should be dumped every time, like the dump button should be hit every time I say it. But Campazzo is a guy that if he's on your team, you absolutely love him. But how much should Portland be ready to hate Campazzo as he will pester Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and Norm Powell?
You guys are going to hate him.
Awesome. Love it.
Earlier this season, he pancaked Ben Simmons when Ben Simmons tried to set a screen on him. That's 5'10" on 6'10" crime. And what I think we are going to see is Facu Campazzo giving Damian Lillard the business up and down 94 feet. I'm not saying that it's going to be successful, but he's going to irritate the hell out of him. And here's a fun little side note. I talked to Facu maybe 2 weeks ago for a story I did on him. And I asked Facu, he told me he loved playing NBA 2K about 5 or 6 years ago. He told me one of his favorite guys to play with in NBA 2K was Damian Lillard. He says he loves Damian Lillard. So there's another little sidebar wrinkle going into this upcoming series.
No way to learn a guy like playing him in 2K, huh? Shoot.
Right. You can learn his tendencies. You can figure out, you know, does he go right? Does he go left? When can I pancake him?
Yeah. I mean, it'll be fascinating to get like punched by your hero, right? I mean, that's kind of what he's going to be setting up for right there.
Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, like, we the Nuggets did not think Facu Campazzo was going to play this big a role. He was essentially came in as the third string point guard. Because Jamal Murray was there, and Gary Harris was there to start the season. He got traded. Monte Morris, he's been injured for about the last 3 weeks. He was battling various core injuries. He's now back. So this backcourt has just been in constant flux. And Facu Campazzo, love him or hate him, he has been a constant in the Nuggets rotation. He has paired well with Nikola Jokic. He's really just kept the backcourt afloat. And if, you know, I'm going to put on my analyst hat of this first round series, whichever side can stop the other guy's stars, meaning Denver's backcourt, can they defend Portland's backcourt or can Portland's frontcourt slow down Denver's frontcourt, is going to win the series. That, to me, is what is going to determine who advances to the second round.
Now, one of my favorite career moments was covering this series 2 years ago between these two teams. It was intense. We had Seth Curry over here talking about the sassy dudes they got in Denver. It got chippy. There was a lot of emotion. What is the personality of this year's Denver Nuggets team compared to those quote unquote sassy dudes from 2 years ago?
That's a great question. I remember we ran a picture in the newspaper of Evan Turner flicking off the Denver Nuggets bench. I remember that. And
vividly.
I remember asking Will Barton the night of the sassy comment about Seth Curry's comment. And I swear it was the biggest eye roll I've ever seen when I asked Will Barton that question. The identity of this year's team is markedly different from that 2019 team because, if you remember, that was the Nuggets' first playoff run with this iteration, with this core. Obviously, last year, they go to the Western Conference Finals. They stun both the Jazz and the Clippers, those 2-3-1 comebacks. And that kind of experience, you know, matures you, expedites the growth of a team. And then you have an MVP in Nikola Jokic this year, who has essentially just taken the team by the throat and said, I'm going to drag you to a top four finish for the third year in a row. And so this team has been battle-tested. They're extremely resilient. They've been through a lot of injuries. I think they're just happy that the regular season's over with because it was such a grind, not just for them, but for all part, for every NBA team. They definitely had a disproportionate amount of injuries. But now it finally matters. Like, the games that Jokic and Porter have been putting on, they finally matter. And so I think they're just eager to get out of the throes of the regular season and are just eager to make it a more significant competition.
We're talking with Mike Singer, Denver Post, covers the Denver Nuggets. You mentioned one of the guys I loved when he was here in Portland, Thrill Barton, though, nursing his hamstring. Look, that's a touchy injury. They are hopeful. Do you think that he will be full go and ready for playoff basketball by the time this thing jumps this weekend?
I really don't have a timeline on him, but I talked to Will recently. I can promise you he's confident that he's coming back. I don't know when specifically. Unfortunately, he's kind of been snake bitten with injuries. In 2019, he was playing catch up. He had a core injury that left him out for half the season, came back, I believe, in January or February, and wasn't really himself once it came around to the postseason. Last year, he had a knee injury that forced him to leave the bubble. So he has really never enjoyed real postseason experience with the Nuggets. And so, you know, you just feel for him. You hope that there is an opportunity for him to come back because you know he's eager to do that, because he really has not done what the Nuggets expect him to do. And he hasn't done that in the postseason just because of injury. So, again, we'll see if he's able to return from that hamstring injury. I would not expect him to start if he does come back. He's just been off too long, in my opinion.
Mike Singer covers the Denver Post for the covers the Nuggets for the Denver Post. Really appreciate the time. I'd love to catch up with you again as the season gets underway and gets going next week.
That would be perfect. Appreciate it.
All right. There he is, Mike Singer of the Denver Post, covering the Nuggets. An update just on the surface there. We wanted to check in. Mm-hmm. See where Denver is. We'd love to dive in deeper with him as the series goes on, because something tells me this will be a series that it goes deep.
I think we could easily see 6 or 7 out of this one.
I'm excited for a first round series with some juice behind it, because I think we got a bunch of them in the NBA playoffs. I don't think, like, there's some sleepers in the East, but yeah. The least sexy one that I see right now on the surface is 4 or 5 in the East between the Knicks and the Hawks, where apparently those tickets are going for $1,000 a piece just because the Knicks are a boring defensive style of basketball and you got Trae Young, but that's not sexy. Just New York's back in it. So people want it to be sexy.
Well, it's New York being back in it.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal though.
Sure.
It's a big deal. How long has it been?
I don't really care, because you know what?
Tell me what.
Because they will be the team that we were talking about, Texas A&M, to start the show. Mm-hmm. They will be the team that is bludgeoned over our heads that they are back prematurely. We know. Just like Texas is back, just like Texas A&M is about to turn a corner, just like we see it all the time in sports, like the Knicks are back. Like the Knicks are a middle-of-the-road Eastern Conference team. Let's go.
Well, they haven't been in the postseason since 2013.
Hey, good for them. That's awesome.
So Knicks fans are diehard. I get it.
Well, I know their fans are. They should be excited.
Yeah, they got home court.
I just don't think that's a real sexy matchup there in the NBA playoffs. And that, my friends, it should say everything you need to know about how good this playoffs is going to be.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Because the West, every single matchup is good in the West.
And the
everyone,
I know LeBron said that whoever came up with the play-in should be fired, but the reality is whoever came up with it is about to get a raise, because getting the Lakers and the Warriors on a Wednesday night, come on,
get the buku bucks.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And if you look at the West, I wouldn't be surprised if the Grizzlies end up surprising people in 2 games. I think it's probably going to stay, you know, 7-8, Lakers, Warriors.
Now, that's where you get the least sexy matchup if that happens. You know, if the Memphis Grizzlies is sneak their way in. But then you'd have Ja.
Yeah. I think Ja's one of the more exciting.
If you have
younger.
Either the Lakers or the Warriors, though, as a 7-8 seed, my gosh. It's going to be
fun.
Sorry
about that one, too.
He said something, and I can't wait for it. Campazzo-Lillard fight. AJ and Dusty on the Fan in the Odyssey app. We talked with Mike Singer, Denver Post, covers the Nuggets. He talked about Facu Campazzo and Damian Lillard. And Jeff Workman on Twitter, he sent a tweet that fired it off to both of us that said, Campazzo is Argentinian for JJ Barea. And he is 100% correct. Portland still hates JJ Barea.
Well,
people don't forget.
No,
it's been a long time. And that's the collision course we're heading down. The fascinating part is that he loves Damian Lillard. Campazzo loves Lillard.
Yeah.
I wonder if Lillard really understands that's what point his career is at. To where a guy, he's a 30-year-old rookie, Campazzo is. But a 30-year-old, like, he's at the point where people that are getting into the league look up to Damian Lillard. Like, he is a star in the NBA now.
Oh, I think he does.
We don't really understand, though, and really think about that as where he is in the NBA right now, is that he's such a vet in the league. He stands out to the people that are new in the NBA coming in. Somebody that they look up to.
For sure. And I think you've seen that in the past years, especially with guys like Ja Morant says it all the time. And I think in Portland, it feels like the only reason it sort of gets overshadowed is just because Melo's on the team.
Hmm.
You know, like here in Portland, we don't recognize that as much because when we're talking about legacy and younger players looking up to somebody, it's typically we have Melo, who's been in it twice as long as Dame.
Yeah, I've always kind of thought of like Dame as like the guy who's always overlooked, though. You know, I mean, that's just like it's kind of the same thing, but like you're not really, he's never really that guy that is, you know, it's a struggle for him to get voted as an NBA All-Star. Mm-hmm. Well, still hasn't. All-Star starter in the fan vote hasn't happened yet. Right. It's like you sit there and you go, what does the guy need to do to get on the first team all NBA over a handful of years? Well, he's getting there, mm-hmm. right? And he's earned that respect and earning, you know, first team all NBA honors. Well, we always look at him as like, he's not at the pinnacle. He's not at the top. But then you have a Campazzo down in Argentina playing NBA 2K 5 years ago saying he loves to do it with Damian Lillard, which you go, wow. You don't really think of it in those terms.
Totally.
You know, as a guy who's going to be playing against in the playoffs.
That I think this is going to be a fun. I mean, I know in Denver, obviously, they remember Evan Turner's middle finger more than we remember Seth Curry's sassy comment. But I think this is the kind of series that is just what playoff basketball is at its best, because this is a series between two teams that are well matched in skill, in personnel. Mm-hmm. And then you add to it that both of these teams are sort of that blue collar team. Like the Nuggets they got Aaron Gordon, but they're not the Lakers. They're not the Nets. They're the same kind of, they want to build the same way that Portland has wanted to build. And so these are two blue collar teams who are going to put on their hard hats for as many games as it takes. And the best team is going to come out of it.
Well, I think you look at it and you can say that at least three of the top six are in that same kind of that same mold. I'd put Utah right there, too.
And Phoenix.
Yeah. And I was going to say Phoenix. And you could even look at Dallas in this way, too. But they went out and they got Porzingis in Dallas. Mm-hmm. They went out and they got Chris Paul in Phoenix. But, I mean, you're sitting there and going, you know, nobody of that caliber has come to Portland in free agency recently.
Right.
You know, of either of those guys or been acquired, mm-hmm. really. And then you look at Denver and Utah, very similar to Portland, where it's like you're building from the ground up. You try to facilitate trades of guys that work in your favor, but you're not. Aaron Gordon is the best pickup that any of these teams could have asked for, and all three of them probably would have loved to have him. But you're sitting there and you're looking at, you know, that's the biggest acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
These teams have been built on young talent, developing them, whether it's Jamal Murray or Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lillard, Nikola Jokic, Rudy Gobert. You know, CJ McCollum, they've grown them from the ground up.
Yeah. I just think that series will always stand out to me as one of my favorites of my career, that 2019 series between the Blazers and the Nuggets. And I have no reason to expect that this one is going to be any less exciting, hard hitting, dramatic. Like, I'm ready for some more sassy comments because I think Campazzo is going to be annoying. Mm-hmm. But I also think we could see I don't know. I wonder who's going to be in. I feel like someone on the Blazers is going to step up and be that.
For sure.
Be that as well. I'm not sure who it is. Maybe Nurk. I think this might be the Nurk series.
We know that it'd be great to have, seeing especially against his former team.
That's what I'm saying.
We've seen both the Blazers and the Nuggets kind of grind out to the end, but we learned a lot, and really all you need to know about a couple of teams this weekend on both ends of the spectrum as we head into the playoffs. We'll talk about the NBA playoff matchups next. AJ and Dusty on The Fan.